Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Charles Imbergamo, who is the president and CEO of Incarnate Word Academy. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. I really love talking about education, Catholic education in particular, and speaking about Incarnate Word Academy is a pleasure to me because I want to learn more about the Academy myself. I understand you have a Montessori and traditional elementary level, as well as a middle school level and high school level.
Yes, we do.
And I love Montessori education, so we'll talk more about that later.
Sure.
I'd like to start with getting to know you a bit. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm Charles Imbergamo. I was born and raised in New York. I grew up on the border of Brooklyn and Queens, New York, from the Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn. I began teaching. I'm a product of Catholic schools all throughout my career, graduate school and beyond. I began teaching in, I guess, a little over 20 years ago. And then my ministry brought me to the Diocese of Brownsville, and I was there for 10 years. And then I guess it's about 5 or 6 years ago, 2009, I arrived here in the Diocese of Corpus Christi to serve Incarnate Word Academy. I began there as director of curriculum for 1 year, helping to align the curricular program throughout the three levels that you just mentioned. And then a year later, I became the third president and chief executive officer of the school. So excited to be here. Seems like I've been here forever and helping now here in the diocese, helping the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament administer Incarnate Word Academy.
Can I ask, what attracted you to education? You started off as a teacher. Mm-hmm. Working with students, how did you get involved?
Well, I think the first thing, probably the best place to start, is my own education. My mother and dad sacrificed a lot to send both my sister and myself to Catholic school through high school. And so that was my first inspiration. I had excellent teachers, Catholic school teachers, both religious and lay. And frankly, I think much like any vocation in the church or otherwise, I wanted to be like them. So I had some great teachers, and they were very inspirational for me. So that was the first kind of draw into education. Ironically, I'm of Italian descent, but I began teaching Spanish.
Okay.
I was enthralled with two of my high school Spanish teachers. And they were kind of larger than life characters. And I just decided
our Spanish teachers.
It was a great stage, and I was very impressed by them. So I had decided early on that I wanted to teach and that I wanted to teach Spanish. So my bachelor's degree is in Spanish with a minor in Italian to honor my family heritage, and then some coursework in secondary education, teacher preparation program. And actually, ironically, in over 20 years now in education, it's the thing that I've done in schools the least. All I ever really wanted to be was a Spanish teacher. And then quickly thereafter, assumed administrative positions in schools. And that's fine. That was God's plan, and that's the way it worked out. Fortunately, when I went for ministry to Brownsville, I utilized a lot of Spanish, not necessarily in teaching it, but in speaking it to communicate with the folks on the border. I use it a little less here, but that was kind of the inspiration. I had great teachers, and I wanted to be one.
Wonderful. I like that story because our teachers need to hear that they are making a difference out there. I mean, look at
Incredible.
You now. You're the president and CEO of Incarnate Word Academy. And if it wasn't for them planting that seed, you might have taken a different route.
Incredible. Yeah. And I'm sure they, you know, they would have thought, boy, can you believe it? This guy's president and CEO of a school. But I just had excellent teachers, and I was provided an excellent Catholic education. It was a sacrifice, as I said, for my folks, but they wanted the best for me, and they really hit a home run, I think, because Catholic schools are among the best out there, and we have tremendous Catholic schools in the diocese. Incarnate Word Academy, our three schools, I think, are three of the 22 Catholic schools in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. So we're really blessed here as well.
As a matter of fact, my daughters have been attending Catholic school. They're now going to be in second and fourth grade, and they've been attending Catholic school since 18 months. And I'm very proud to say that since 18 months, they have been attending some sort of either Montessori program or Catholic schooling, not just daycare, but actually learning
formal
about
school.
Their
yeah.
Catholic faith and learning other subjects as well. And they are wonderful kids, and yes, I am biased.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the opportunities are endless.
They really are. They really are. The opportunity. And we'll talk about those opportunities. Now, I would like to ask you, what exactly does a president and CEO do?
It's probably not the best description, but I like to describe it as essentially what the superintendent of a small school district would do. I mean, I supervise the principals who supervise the educational program within the school. I supervise facilities and technology and kind of the major master planning, strategic planning of the school. I work closely with the board to review, revise, or create policies that help to drive the future of the school and advance the mission of the school. So it's more kind of executive, administrative. On days, you know, on good days, I get to interact more directly with the students and with teachers and helping to form, you know, kind of the people who are going to be ministering to the kids in their capacity within the school. So it's a privileged position of leadership, and it's one that I don't take lightly.
Leadership, mentorship, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all of that. It's, you know, trying to make sure that we are able to provide the best education, Catholic education possible at Incarnate Word Academy. There's a lot of fundraising that goes on in it as well, campaigns and planning and those kinds of things. It's the nitty-gritty of, I like to think that by the work that I do, for the school, the principals and the teachers and the school staff can do what they do, and it makes it easier. Many ways we're privileged at Incarnate Word Academy because we have that role. Some of the struggles in some of the other schools are the principal is the major leader of the school and has to do everything.
Major fundraiser, major.
Of all the things, you know, every.
You know, janitor, I mean, just everything.
Everything. And so we're certainly very blessed at IWA to have the model of president and principals, which we've had now for quite some time.
Can you tell me what some differences are, not really making comparisons, but just some differences between a Catholic education and, let's say, a public education?
Well, I think the first most obvious one is what draws all of us into ministries, you know, within the church is the very candid and open and joyful ability to respond to, you know, the call that the Lord has given us to serve. And I think one of the blessings that we have, I only served for a very short time student teaching in public school, so it's hard for me to make any kind of real comparison.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the idea that we don't have to worry about being people of faith and practicing our faith and teaching our faith and in drawing, you know, and forming young people in the faith, that's one of the, you know, Catholic schools have always been known for a lot of different things, excellence and rigor and, you know, high academic standards and all that wonderful stuff. But I think what we really need to be known for is passing on the faith.
Catholic identity.
The religious formation of our students sacramentally in prayer and worship, you know, so that they understand what it is to lead a Christian life, you know, in the Catholic Church, and to be able to, you know, let that life speak in their service to others.
So forming this student mind, body, and soul.
The whole person. Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
This year's Diocese of Corpus Christi High School Youth Spectacular, for those in grades 9 through 12, will be held at the Borchard Fairgrounds in Robstown, Sunday, September 28th. The absolute last day to register is September 10th. This event takes its theme, The Family Fully Alive, from Pope Francis, who often speaks of the importance of the family in our lives. There'll be great speakers, uplifting praise and worship music, games, adoration, and closing mass with Bishop Mulvey presiding. For more information, call the Diocese Office of Youth Ministry, 882-6191.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Charles Imbergamo, President and CEO of Incarnate Word Academy. We've been talking about the Academy. We've been talking a little bit about how you got involved in education and some of the differences between a Catholic school and a non-Catholic school, and we've had great conversation. Now, I'd like to talk about the Academy itself. Again, you have three levels. Let's go ahead and talk about the elementary level. You have two different ways of instruction, traditional and Montessori. So,
correct. We begin on the Montessori side. Our program begins at 3 years old and goes all the way through grade 5. On the traditional side, our program begins with K-4 and goes all the way through grade 5. It's actually, I was talking to a group of teachers this morning, it's actually one of the most unique things for me as I think about Incarnate Word Academy. One, that the school has an elementary level, a middle level, and a high school level. There are so very few schools that are pre-K through grade 12 across the country, and so very few in these parts. So that's a little bit unique. Within the elementary school, it's very unique that we have elementary traditional instruction and elementary Montessori instruction running parallel, side by side, with each other through the fifth grade. A lot of our other schools might have Montessori programs for preschool, you know, but not beyond. So we have those both programs running right next to each other through the fifth grade, and have had it for Montessori education exists now in the United States for about maybe 52 years or something like that. And we've had it for about 46 or 47.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about the history of the Academy. Did they start in elementary level or?
We did. We had students all throughout, some borders. The school began in 1871. So this year in March, we're celebrating 144 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's quite an accomplishment. It started with a few sisters who arrived here, and a couple of days later started a school. So Incarnate Word Academy actually predates the Diocese of Corpus Christi, you know, predates
by over 40 years.
A lot of other things in the Coastal Bend. So the sisters have been a huge pioneering force here for, as I said, 144 years this year in March. So the elementary school has those two programs. Then it feeds into the middle school program.
Now, before we go into the middle school program, for our listeners, what is Montessori education? That might be a new word.
Montessori education is grounded in the philosophy of Maria Montessori, who believed, in essence, and I'm boiling it down to the basics, that the child kind of guides and develops their own path for learning. And I, my sister, I talked before that my parents offered my sister and I a Catholic education. I think of the way my sister learns and the way I learn. I was more a kind of a traditional, this is what we're doing right now, and let's finish this, and let's move on to the next thing. And my sister was probably more Montessori. Okay, I'm done with that, and let me move on to the next thing. And so it's kind of the children set their own pace of learning. There's a certain body of knowledge, or what we call them works, that they need to accomplish. And if they can accomplish 6 or 8 in a day, great. If they can accomplish more than that, great. They can kind of set their own pace, and it's individualized, you know, for the learning style of the child. Traditional is more that. It's more traditional. The educational pattern is now we're doing social studies, then we're doing math, you know. And it also fits the needs, the educational needs of some students and the way they learn.
And exactly, I was going to say, so students learn differently, and so the different methods meet the students' needs.
It's the blessing that we have at IWA as we're approached by a family with an incoming child. We can evaluate that child. We can listen to what the parents either feel they need or want for their children. We can evaluate them in the setting and then place them in the program that we think is going to work best for the child, which is always going to work best, you know, if it meets the needs of the child that's in front of us. So.
And I'm amazed that it goes up to 5th grade in terms of the Montessori program.
Yeah.
All right.
And so we have so many kids in the Montessori 5th grade who are doing, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade math and social studies and, you know, things that are and the traditional too.
I mean, sure.
the things that the kids can accomplish in the upper elementary school are incredible to me.
Well, let's talk then about your middle school level, about how many students do you have in that level, and what are some of the things that you're doing there?
We have about 235 this year. Middle school is obviously a unique time in the age of a child, so it's when they begin to, you know, develop more of their personalities, and we have kind of a unique program in pacing in math and in science. We have the benefit over these last few years of a very beautiful math and science, Kennedy Math and Science Building. And so science labs, and they begin to, you know, kind of branch out. We have so many of them that then start to go into academic competitions and band and choir, and, you know, they begin to look at some electives and make some choices about what they would like to study, things that suit their needs.
I would like to know, what are some of the extracurricular things in addition to academics that IWA offers?
Cardio and wellness is a big one for the kids in the elementary school. So kind of a health class, but that's more active.
Active.
They're very interested in that. Computer science. We have Spanish throughout the whole curriculum, 6 through 8. Organizational skills and study skills, which are very important, we find, you know, for the kids as the coursework begins to become a little more rigorous, study habits, test-taking skills, those kinds of things that provide the best possible opportunity for them to be successful because they're oriented toward high school and beyond. So there's all sorts of preparations going on, you know, from the early stages for PSATs and ACTs and SATs. And
so you're really setting them up for their future.
Yeah. Our expectation and their expectation is they will be prepared and ready for college and beyond, hopefully. I mean, I like to say it's not just for school, but it's for life.
All right. You there know, you go. So. And what are some of the sports that you all have?
Cross country in the early part of the year, cross country, the running sports, cross country, track and field, swimming, golf, tennis, softball.
The list goes on and on.
Baseball,
well, that's
basketball.
Good.
A lot of academic teams. They participate in the middle school and high school in PSIA and academic competitions. So there's all sorts of competitions with numbers and science and, you know, all the things that that interest kids technologically.
So I remember those competitions.
Yeah,
they were a lot of fun.
It's interesting.
Well, I can see the joy. Our listeners can't, but I'm sure they can hear it. I can see the joy in your face when you're talking about all these extra things that happen there at Incarnate Word. Let's go ahead and talk about the high school level. How many students do you have there?
We have about 325. Over the last number of years, we've had 100% of our graduates accepted to college and university.
Wow.
Which is very exciting for us. This year, we had almost 100% attend college or university. One went into military service, and we're quite proud of them for that. Great kids, very motivated to serve in the community, and we're very proud of that. They understand their faith. They put their faith into practice. We have a lot of exciting things that they're involved with academically and obviously athletically. But one of the things that we've been developing over the last few years is an aligned campus ministry program throughout the school where we realize more and more as time marches on that the gifts that we have been given are not for ourselves. You know, one of the most inspirational things that I take away from Pope Francis is that, you know, we're not supposed to be focused on ourselves and self-reverential, you know, as persons or as a church. And so it's exciting to see the kids take what they know. And we'd like to think that they know and have met the person of Jesus Christ and they take the person of Jesus Christ into the community and they take Jesus with them in their educational journey and in hopefully what they're intending to give back to the community and to the church, because we need them.
Well, we need wholesome, well-rounded individuals, and it looks like Incarnate Word Academy is doing just that. I'm so excited that it seems as though the school is growing. I'm sure growth is always welcomed.
Yes, absolutely.
And your role as president and CEO, God willing, will always be blessed.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being with us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
How often it is that we find ourselves in a strange or unfamiliar place, and in the moment of not knowing our surroundings, we become frightened or anxious because of a noise we hear. We may have heard the sound 100 times before in another place, at another time in which we felt safe, but here in this unfamiliar place, it frightens us. It happens often when someone from the city spends a night in the country. They lay down to sleep, and suddenly the world comes alive with sounds, birds calling, their voice lonely until an answering cry arises, coyotes howling, always far off but seemingly near, and brush rustling and crackling as some unseen creature moves through it, and our imagination runs rampant. Those brave enough not to be frightened might arise and go out into the night, to stand and listen more closely, trying to determine if there is any real danger. And if the night sky is clear, they will almost always marvel at the majestic multitude of stars in the night sky, for the city lights to which they are accustomed mask and distort the beauty of God's night, a time He has given us for respite from the toils and burdens of the day. To receive the marvelous gift of His light in the darkness of night requires that we step out into that darkness, even as we must trust Him and place ourselves into His care if we are to receive the respite of sleep. As children, we once knew this, but as adults, we forget to trust in His ways and place more faith in what we can do for ourselves. We forget that simply closing our eyes and going to sleep requires an act of faith. faith that God will watch over us and protect us, faith that He will allow us to awaken to a new day, and faith that if we don't, we will be in His merciful embrace. Abraham was called to make a similar act of faith when the Lord appeared to him in a vision. During his exchange with Abraham, God told him to go outside and count the stars if he could, and that his descendants would outnumber the stars. Abraham was 99 years old at the time, yet he trusted what God told him. The most amazing thing about this exchange is that it was still daylight when God sent Abraham out to count the stars. Later in the New Testament, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon responded, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." He did so, and once it was done, he and his friends caught so many fish that they had to get help to haul them in. God often calls us to move out of our comfort zone. Sometimes, if we're not listening, He will use fear to move us, fear of the unfamiliar, fear of the dark, or even fear of the deep, but He always does so out of love for us. He calls us out of our darkness to share with us the superabundant gift of His merciful love. Like Abraham and Peter, we must learn to trust Him. In the light of darkness, faith enables us to see. May your sacred moments always be illuminated by faith, and may you always have the courage to put out into the deep, to step out into the dark night, and keep faith. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Charles Imbergamo, President and CEO of Incarnate Word Academy. If you would like more information about the Academy, please call them at 361-883-0857 or visit iwacc.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi. And CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.